I'm going to kind of title this God's Covenant Promises Belong to You. But really what we're going to talk about is all of covenant. We're going to dig into it, and we're going to begin to understand it on a level of how we can really unlock it in our lives. And one of the things that I would really invite you to do is, you know, if you're jaded at all towards some of this, in the sense of, well, I never see it working for me or whatever, let that go for now and just listen and let God, you know, begin to show you, you know, what he's doing. This whole teaching, this whole teaching that I'm going to cover over the next maybe one or two times or three times maybe, is all out of the book of Galatians chapter 3. I'm starting this whole thing off of Galatians chapter 3. And I'm going to be going through every scripture and taking you all the way through to the end of Galatians chapter 3. And then from there, God's going to show me where we go next as far as getting a hold of this. And the reason being is that there's a wealth of information and understanding in Galatians 3. And it's something every day I feed on it. Every day I put confidence in it. And yet, even as every day I'm doing that, there's things God's applying to that for me. All right. And hopefully I can give you enough of a good chunk of a picture tonight that it'll help you guys be able to walk out of here and begin to think about it and begin to align yourself even in a little way. I mean, just it starts off here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept. And as you begin to get a hold of it, it begins to snowball is what happens. Now, people have this misconstrued idea that covenant means that you're going to be wealthy, that you're going to be living beyond your dreams. It doesn't mean that. And you need to understand that. Covenant is not about making you rich so you can live your life in the lap of luxury. That's not covenant. Now, you can end up there, but don't you get caught living there, because it's a bad place to get in and it can cause you all kinds of problems later on. And we'll talk about that later, more later. But the goal of covenant is unleashing, it's to unlock the force of that covenant in your life so that it's working on your behalf. And that's where I'm going with this. The older I've gotten, the more I've learned about faith, the more I've learned about walking with God, the more I've learned about covenant, the more I've come to understand, it's not about me out there doing it and making it happen. That's not what it is. It's about me, you know, doing those things, and I'm going to get into those specifically, doing those things that allow covenant to be unlocked in my life and begin to have influence in my life and begin to do what it's supposed to do for me. Okay? That's what the goal of it is. Let covenant do for you what it's supposed to do. And it's built on some things. It's built on the promises of God. It's built on some mandates and things that we're supposed to walk in. But those are things we should be walking in regardless. Amen. That's just the way it should be. And if we tie ourselves into this correctly, I guarantee you're going to see some things begin to happen on your behalf as you go along. Amen. Now, Galatians chapter 3, 1 and 2. I'm going to start off with this. Uh-oh, he's got the Bible going on there.
It's supposed to be on mute.
Okay, Galatians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. It says, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Now see, he lays down a premise here. It's about us obeying the truth. It's about us obeying the truth. That's going to require us knowing the truth and then aligning ourselves up with it and committing to live it.
Three.
Committing to live it. Amen. And he says, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. Okay, so he's laying the foundation of that truth, which is Jesus Christ clearly portrayed among us as crucified. In other words, Christ crucified. Amen. And you got to understand, that's a fundamental thing that causes all these other things to work. Once we understand that. before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified, this only I want to hear from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? So, two things. One, Christ crucified, us accepting Christ, receiving Christ, making him our Lord and Savior, you know, receiving what he did for us on the cross, that he died for us, paid for our sins, brought us back to God, and so on. And then the second thing is the Holy Spirit. And this is where we can get in trouble if we're not careful, because part of our covenant is tied distinctly to the Holy Spirit. And if we're not aligned with the Holy Spirit, if we're not walking in the Spirit, if we're not yielding to the Spirit, if we don't even know what that looks like, then it hampers what God's trying to do for us. And because you got to understand something, man, God's trying to show the world that he's real. He's trying to show the world that he's good. He's trying to show the world that he loves them. And how else is he going to do that except through us? And if our lives are nothing but turmoil and dissatisfaction and trouble and trial and tribulation and everything else, how does that show the world that God's worth following? Jesus is worth following. It doesn't. Amen. And so we have to be careful, you know, of what God is doing. And you need to also understand that God never intends the covenant just to be for us to consume upon ourselves. When we start truly walking in covenant, that covenant begins to unleash and unlock life flowing out of us as a river. And it begins to nurture and nourish things around us. And that's what causes our lives to flourish. But in the process of our lives flourishing, it causes other people to flourish as well. That's what we're supposed to be doing. And that's how we're... Can you imagine if everybody's walking like that? I mean, every which way you turn, you're getting hit by the stream of life. You know, the river of life is just running you over and blessing you and doing all the things that it's meant to do for you. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And he's carrying us up to this higher life, this higher level of life. He goes on to say, this only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? All right? By the hearing of faith. By the hearing of faith. In other words, in order for us to ever walk in faith, we have to hear faith. It's the hearing that comes out of faith. And that's what the word of there is. I didn't put it in here, but it's actually, it says by the hearing of faith. And the word by there is the word ek, which means from or out of. You know, so we're it's either out of the works of the law or it's out of the hearing of faith. So in order for us to really take hold of what God's done for us, we've got to get into the place where we're hearing faith all the time. It's the hearing of faith. Amen. It's when we hear something, faith is constantly, when we hear the truth, because see, it all ties back to the truth, you know, that you know, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth. Amen. So when you start hearing the truth, the moment you're hearing the truth, you're mixing that with faith. So you're hearing out of that faith. Faith is running to connect to the truth is what it's doing. Amen. So there's this constant need to be hearing faith, because what God does, he does out of the hearing of faith. Now you need to take that on two levels. One is, you know, you're hearing faith. You're hearing things that are causing faith to grow inside of you. It's causing faith to rise inside of you. And you're the one speaking faith. See, God, it says, look what it says. Did you receive? Receive is lambano, to take, get a hold of, you know, to receive what is given, to get, to obtain, to get back. Did you get a hold of the Holy Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? In other words, two things. You heard about the Holy Spirit. You heard about Jesus. You heard about the Holy Spirit. You received them by faith. In other words, you mixed your faith with that. Now we know faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So we know that when we hear the truth, that truth generates faith in us. Amen. And so that faith, we're hearing it. We're responding to it. But at the same time, we need to, We need to be speaking that faith. We need to take what we're hearing and inside and then bringing it back out again. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Amen. So did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law? Or, you know, and the word works there is the word ergon. You guys know this. But understand, it's a toil as an effort or occupation. If you're trying to receive from God based on effort of any kind, even if it's in your mind, it's an effort of faith, it can borderline become works if you're not careful. And so you stop the moment you turn it into a works thing. Well, God, I've spoken the word. I've done this. I believe. Where's my healing? Or where's what I'm believing you for? Where's my, you know, what my promise? Where is it at? That right there tells you that your thinking is off. You're coming to God and you're saying, I've done, I've worked. Amen. And that's, if you go to Romans chapter 4 and talks about the faith, you know, David and faith that receives, and, you know, faith is just receiving. Works is putting yourself to work and expecting the result to come out of your effort. So even spiritually, we can turn our walk with God into an effort where we're laboring, and that laboring is what we're using to measure where we stand with God, instead of just receiving the fact that, I mean, the older I get, dude, the more I realize just how dumb and stupid I've been and how messed up I've been. You know, and of course, God's, you know, I've grown a lot, and I'm not stupid like I used to be. But when you sit down and you start thinking about it, you go, man, just one violation of the law and I'm done. Man, I'm way beyond that. Thank you, Jesus. It's by faith that I'm saved. It's by faith that I'm saved. It's by faith. And you got to understand, we don't earn righteousness. Righteousness is attributed to us. It's accounted to us when we believe on the Lord Jesus. So the reality of what we've done in Christ isn't fully accomplished until we get our resurrected bodies. And that gives everybody a chance to either start over again and get it right, or it gives them a chance to walk away if their hearts aren't really in it. Like John said, they were never of us, because if they were of us, they'd have stayed with us. Amen. And I'm not talking about us as swords. I'm talking about us as part of the body of Christ and being with Jesus. Now, so it starts, everything starts with the hearing of faith. You know, you've got to hear it, believe it, take that faith that's being given to you. God, Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. Faith doesn't come to us, or it doesn't come from us. It comes to us. And we receive it. We believe the promise. We believe, because it's all tied to promise, believe it or not. God says he's going to do something good. God makes a promise to us. You know, he says, if you believe on the Lord Jesus, you'll be saved. You're passed from death to life. That's a promise. So it all starts with a promise. It's the truth. And so if you obey it, you step into it and say, I believe this. I'm going to live this. I'm taking this personal. Then you've received that faith. That faith comes to you from Jesus. You know, some people think that they're so great because, oh, look at me, I'm a man of faith. I'm a woman of faith. You know, well, no, man. You only have faith because you've been feeding yourself faith all this time. The moment you think you have it and that you've earned it and that you've gained it of your own effort, you've actually lost it. You're already in a state of being bewitched. Amen. So the key is constantly feed on the things that generate faith in us, which is God's word. And you're going to see some specific areas where that plays out. And then at the same time, you know, you begin to express that faith back to God in your words. You know, I believe you, Father. I believe that Jesus died for my sins. I believe these promises that you've given to me. I want to walk with you, Father God. I want all that is you and that you have to offer along with it, Father. I'm not in this out of covetousness. You know, I've known some people that got saved because, you know, they thought they could get rich. Well, you know, if they never turn that around and just get saved because God loved them and they were sinners going to hell, I wonder if they ever really got saved. You know, it's not praying a prayer that gets you saved. It's the heart content that gets you saved. I mean, you look in the New Testament, look in the book of Acts. I mean, Peter went to preach at Cornelius' house and he barely got the basic gospel out of his mouth, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, spoke in tongues, and worshiped God. And he's like, how can we forbid them being baptized? It was all backwards, man. But because they were hearing it and they were receiving it so intensely, God, he just dumped it on them. And he dumped it on them on purpose, because at that time, the Jewish believers didn't think that the baptism of the Holy Spirit belonged to the Gentiles. And God had to change their thinking. You know, so the moment they were already in that state of belief, they weren't, in our minds, they never prayed a prayer of salvation. They never were baptized. How do we know? They were just sitting there listening to the message. And next thing you know, they're baptized with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. And it's because those moments when they were sitting there, they were already giving themselves to what they were hearing. The faith came to them and they received it. They took it inside and made it part of them. And as they did, God just was free to do it. So there's no, you got to understand, you got to be aware of methodologies, you know, because everybody turns things into step one, step two, step three. We do that as teachers just to help you get an idea of all the things that could be involved in, you know, you living and walking in faith and using your faith effectively. But the thing is, you know, faith can be expressed many ways, and there's not a set way to do things. I've seen people get healed, man, out of nothing. You know, it didn't seem like they showed any faith at all. But later on afterwards, man, I found out, oh my God, they were in faith all along. And they just received it. It was done. Amen. So you need to understand that it all starts with the hearing of faith. Okay, faith, hearing it, being able to recognize faith and taking it for yourself, that Jesus is, he's the author and the finisher. So that means just because you started in faith, that doesn't mean you're finished. That means that you're still going through the process of being completed in faith, perfected in faith. Amen? He's the author and finisher of our faith. Amen? Now, Galatians chapter 3:3 goes on, and it says, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? And the word made perfect there, you got to understand that our concept of perfect and the Bible's concept of perfect don't really totally align. Our idea of perfect is we're sinless, spotless, we do everything exactly right. And we don't. We're just people. Amen. We're not going to do everything perfectly right. And even probably after we get our resurrected bodies, perfectly right won't count. It won't even be part of us and our vocabulary. We just will be who we are. And it will function exactly as it's meant to function. Amen. And so, but this whole thing, are you being perfected, you know, made perfect rather. That word made perfect there, actually, the typical word for made, for perfect or perfected is the word teleo. Oh my gosh, I jumped way down here. Is the word teleo. This word is epiteleo, which means it's an intensification of being made perfect. And it literally means to fulfill further or completely. So he says, are you now being perfected further or completely? Are you being made fully complete beyond, you know, by the flesh? And this is the biggest problem that we have in the body of Christ, is because covenant is not taught. We don't understand our relationship with God. Our relationship with God is the two sons that the Father walked into their room or wherever and said, I need you to go and work in the fields. He said the same thing to both of them. One said yes and didn't go. The one said no. The other one said no and then repented and went out and did it. You know, God needs us working in his fields, whatever that means. We're not all called to do the same things. But part of the fields could be one another. It could be the body of Christ. It could be, you know, people in your church. It could be people in your neighborhood. It could be people at your work. I don't know. Where we, you know, God will tell you. He'll show you what that is. But see, in doing that, though, he's saying, look, I want to have a relationship with you. And that relationship isn't just, I love you, I want you to love me. No, I love you, but I want you to serve me. We were born again to serve God. That's Hebrews chapter 9. You know, the whole purpose behind why we were cleansed of our consciousness of sin was so that we could serve the living God. And serving God is better than serving the world. Serving God is better than serving ourselves. Because if you're not serving God, you're serving yourself. And that's where all of our problems were. When we're serving ourselves, that's how come we're in sin all the time. That's how come, you know, we're covetous. That's how come we're lustful. That's how come we're, you know, we get angry real easy. I mean, all kinds of things go wrong because we're trying to make it for us what we want this life to be. And when we lay that on the altar, when we nail that to the cross and say, I'm following Jesus, I'm serving God, then now you've entered into what that true covenant relationship really is about. Now, I'm not focusing on the serving part. That may come later on. But it's part and parcel of the Holy Spirit. You walking in the Spirit. If you're walking in the Holy Spirit, if you're walking with the Spirit of God, if you're walking in Him at all, He's going to lead and guide you in service. He's not going to drive you. He's not going to wear you out. But He's going to call on you to do things for God, to do things for people, and not just do things for yourself. We have this idea that the Holy Spirit has just been given to me to make my life better, you know, to take care of my needs, you know, and that's not true. That's, you know, He's called alongside of us, and that means we have a responsibility, and He's called along to help us in that. You understand what I'm saying? And that's up to us to follow through with. Now, I'm giving you a real broad view of some of this stuff. I'm not going to get in the word over it, but so if you have any issues with it, that's fine. We can talk about it. He goes on to say, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect in the flesh? Verse 4, have you suffered so many things in vain? And the word vain there means, you know, through the idea of failure or without reason or effect. Have you suffered so many things in vain? I mean, you got to understand, walking with God there's going to be some suffering involved, right? Part of that's persecution. Part of it is we can't go out and play like we used to anymore because we're not of that anymore. And that'll get us in serious trouble, as we all well know, right? We've had our share of trouble. But suffering also comes from the fact that we have a big target painted on our back. The devil hates us. And the moment you confess the Lord Jesus, you've now made enemies. And that main enemy is the devil and all his angels, his demons, you know, and probably all the ones that were following you all your life are now mad, and they're going to do everything they can to cause you problems, to bring you down, to keep you from being the number one thing, to keep you from being a testimony for God. Amen. They'll do everything they can to destroy that. And then your enemies are also people who are listening to those devils, you know, in them attacking you. So there is going to be some warfare involved in this, whether we like it or not. Amen. And so consequently, you know, if you've suffered any of that, is it in vain? And that's a question we ask ourselves. Verse 5, therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you, and the word supplies there means to furnish besides or fully supply, he who fully supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you. He works miracles. The word works there is actually the word energion. It means to make efficient, to make active. He makes miracles active among you. And of course, miracles is the word dunamis in it. And it means miraculous power or demonstration of power. Does he make miracles among you? Does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Now, a lot of people, when they get into trouble with God, not get in trouble with God, when they get in trouble in life is what I meant. What they will do is they will do everything they can to straighten themselves up and walk the line and then go to God and pray and ask God to help them. And they're using themselves in trying to be the better person and everything as a basis for why God should hear their prayer. Now, remember, I shared that testimony with you about that pastor, you know, where he, I don't know if it was ever I, one of us shared it, but I've talked about it before. And he actually died for a bit. And he was in heaven and was at the wall of the new Jerusalem or wherever they were at, of the city in heaven. And he was by one of the gates and he was seeing people just going in. And he was down on his face on the ground and an angel was standing there telling him, you can't go in. And then he said, why? He said, and then God spoke to him. He says, you know, why should I let you in? God asked him that. He said, why should I let you in? And the guy goes, well, you know, I've served you. I've done this. I've got all these works. I mean, I've helped people. I've done all this stuff. And God said, your righteousness is as filthy rags. Your works mean nothing to me. And there's Christians out there right now that are going around saying that if people are good people, that, you know, God's going to let them go to heaven. No. If a person doesn't believe on the Lord Jesus, if they don't know the Lord, or if they are wicked, you know, and they're hateful to God, they're not going to heaven. People have to accept Christ, and we need to understand that. We just think that, oh, God will just pick and choose. No, because here's a pastor who, you know, he loved people. He did a lot of good things. He had a very, you know, a life full of fruit of helping people. And God certainly wants us having fruit. But when we start basing anything that we're receiving from God on what we're doing, we're already outside, just like that pastor was. He was outside the walls. And God, he chewed him out. He says, your works mean nothing to me. You know, as far as I'm concerned, you deserve to go to hell. And here's a guy that walked with God. But he had gotten so caught up in his righteousness, got so caught up in just doing the things that Christians do without faith. Without faith. You guys got to understand that. It's because it was without faith. And so he went, the angel said, you know, God just kind of left. And the angel said, hey, look, let's go take a walk and let you kind of sort things out. He goes, and we'll give this another try. That's what he said. He said, we'll give it another try. This angel told him that. And so they go out. The guy kind of cools, settles down, because he's thinking, I'm going to hell, man. What was I believing all this time? What the heck is wrong? You know? And so he goes, you want to give it another try? And he goes, yeah. And he went back up to that same spot in the wall, and he got down on his face before God. He just kind of bowed down, and God said, why should I let you in? And he didn't say a word. He didn't say a word. There was no reason why God should let him in. Because there is no reason for why God should do anything that he does for us. There's no reason. We don't deserve any of it. And the moment we start thinking that we do, we're already out. God resists the proud, gives grace to the humble. And so, what I'm trying to get across to you right now, look what he says. Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law, from the works of the law, or out of the works of the law? Or from or out of the hearing of faith? He asked that question again. And this time around, he added miracles to that. Does God do miracles? And I'm going to tell you something, man. Sometimes I get caught up in the idea of miracles, because it's like I'm aware of the, you know, the working of miracles, you know, that they're worked on some level. And so that's kind of always tripped me up in my understanding of miracles. But what God's saying here, he says, do I work miracles? Who's working the miracles? I'm not working the miracles. God's working the miracles. Does he do it by my effort on any level? No, he does it. He does it by the hearing of faith. And so when we speak faith, by this time we need to understand that it's on us now to start speaking that faith. We've got to hear the faith. We've got to take it. We've got to make our lives about living by faith. All right? And then as you do that, you know, you're going to start speaking it back out. And then he goes on to say in verse 6, he says, just as Abraham believed God, and this is where the whole thing happens. Just as Abraham believed God, and the word believed there obviously is the word pistiu, it means to have faith with respect to God. Just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. It was accounted to him. And that word accounted there means to reckon or account. In other words, he didn't bring about his own righteousness at all. He didn't earn any righteousness. He didn't get righteous out of something he did. He didn't even know what he was doing. God took him out there, man, the year before that Isaac was going to be, well, a little while before that, maybe. Might have been a few months before that, because the year that after that is when the three come in, and you know, the angel of the Lord and then the two other angels come into his camp, and he says, by this time next year, Isaac will be born. You know, and that's when he busts, you know, Sarah laughing in the tent, you know, thinking, how's that going to happen? And that's what God does to us. He'll bust us from you know, questioning. But he works, okay, just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, Abraham didn't do anything. Abraham didn't know that what he was doing was going to cause him to be reckoned and counted as righteous before God. He just, when God took him out there and he showed him the stars in the heaven, he said, this is how your seed, how many your seed will be. And there's a lot of visible stars out there. And at that time, they didn't have any of the washing out of light. They had nothing, man. It was dark, dude. You could see everything. And when God showed him that, he believed God. Now, some people will try and tell you the works of Abraham, the act of Abraham, because it talks about in Hebrews chapter 11, you know, that, and James talks about it, that wasn't Abraham justified by works when he offered up Isaac, okay? But that's not when God counted righteousness to him. God counted righteousness to him. When God counted righteousness to him was when he believed God. When he believed what God said to him. When he believed that what God said to him, that was the moment. He said, your seed will be as those stars in heaven. It'll be that many. And he believed him. He believed. And God accounted it to him for righteousness. Now this is the hardest part for us. Because the curse that came on us as men, and specifically on us as men, the curse that came on us at the beginning was that from the sweat of our brow, we would labor until, by the sweat of our brow, until we returned to the dust that we were made from. We would labor and work by the sweat of our brow. And that curse is what drives us. To labor, to work, to drive. It just, ugh. And when it comes to walking with God, we have a tendency to switch over to that. And that's what we have to watch out for. Because when I start really getting into talking about covenant, covenant is not something that you make happen. You don't make it happen. God makes it happen. And there's no such thing as timing. Jesus explains it very clearly. He says, the kingdom of heaven is as a mustard seed, that when it is sown, it's the smallest seed of all the herbs, but it grows up to a tree. Now you got to understand, mustard is it's a herb. It's a plant. It's not a tree, but it can grow so big it becomes like a tree, and it houses all the animals in it, the birds of the air. He said, that's the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven works in a growth process. So covenant works in a growth process. And what we have to do is cultivate the soil. We've got to cultivate our faith. We've got to cultivate the things that make the environment completely ready for the seed of the word to come into, the promise to come into, and then explode. It'll grow. Amen. You want the soil. What's the word for it I'm looking for, Dan? Soil. You want it
fertilized?
You want fertile soil. You want soil that's loaded with all the nutrients necessary. And you get out there to rainforest out there, plants, they grow, boom. There's places where they would cut roads through to drive through, and a week later they'd be overgrown and you couldn't even find the road anymore. Isn't that right? And that's because it was such a fertile, wet environment that it would grow. And that's what we got to learn to do, is develop the environment of our hearts, the environment of our lives, to where the promises that God gives us, they hit the soil of our heart. And that the moment they hit the soil of our heart, they start growing. And they don't produce right away. You got to understand that. You know, fruit doesn't come immediately. It takes the plant, the tree, whatever's got to grow, and then it produces the fruit. You know, and so we have to have that kind of patience. That's why we turn it over and just expect it to start happening. Amen. I'm getting ahead of myself now. But so you need to understand. Now, understanding righteousness. I love Thayer's definition of righteousness here. It's the word dakosune, and Thayer defines it as, in a broad sense, the state of him who is as he ought to be, righteous, the condition acceptable to God. And then Vines, the character or quality of being right or just. And when you start thinking in terms of that righteous, the word dakosune is a very legal term. And it's God uses that word in the Old Testament. Tzedakah is the word in the Old Testament for righteous. And the whole concept of righteousness is intimately tied to covenant. Because what it's about is having right to walk, to have covenant manifest on our behalf. That's what righteousness is. And it's a relationship with God. And it's not something we earn. It's not something we earn. It's not something that we can achieve by our own labor or skill. It's something that God accounts to us because we are in that state that we ought to be. And what is that state that we ought to be in? I've been talking about it. It's faith.
Hearing faith.
Hearing faith. That's a state. Hearing faith. That's a state. That's the state that we need to be in. You know, because God doesn't work the way the world works. You know, there's a conversion ratio that happens in the world, and we all use it and do it. You know, I mean, I put in my hours and I get my paycheck. Okay. You know, I go to the store, they make the bread and they process it and they put it on the shelves, and I use my hours that I've converted to money to buy that loaf of bread. It's all a conversion process. We convert something to something else in order to get it there. And in all honesty, what we've got to change is we got to change how we perceive the world that we're a part of now. And start looking at it on the level of, I don't have to convert nothing. I just got to be in that state of faith. Right? I just got to be in that state of faith. And things will begin to grow and come out of it. All right? And that doesn't mean you don't apply your faith. There's, you know, we talk about the work of faith and the labor of love. So there is some work to it. But it's not something that we're doing to earn. you know, to fulfill something that we think is going to get us. We know what faith does, and all we're going to do is live it. All right? Now, I'm going to come down and just share a scripture with you, and then I'm going to go through and teach it next time. But I just want to share this part because I think this is where we got. This is where we got to tonight. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 12, in verse 11, actually, I'll pick up there. It says, "But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith." You guys understand that? The law is not of faith because the man who does them shall live by them. So if you're doing stuff that you're living by, that's not faith. So we need to inherently begin to change our concept of faith. Faith isn't what I'm going out there and doing. I know that we talk about the activity of faith. We talk about, faith without works is dead and so on. That's obvious. I mean, those kinds of things, once you get this settled inside you and get it right, that makes so much more sense. All right? Because what we do is we run straight to the works, faith without works is dead. We run straight to works instead of understanding that works are nothing more than the outflow of our faith. What we do become, it's the outflow of our faith. If we really love, Jesus said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. Right? So it's not about us keeping his commandments because we're afraid we're going to go to hell. It's because we love him. And so when, the more we love the Lord, the more we want to obey him, the more we want to serve him, the more we want to walk with him. Isn't that right? Unless we don't really care, and that becomes a legitimate challenge at various times in our lives. I challenge myself, man. It's like, dude, I don't feel like I love you very much, Father. It's like, well, you know what to do about it. Deal with it. But I just wanted to share that this is kind of where we're going to tonight, is that whole reality of the just shall live by faith. That's what it's about, is us getting into that place where faith becomes the means by which we live. And I'm going to be honest with you. The just shall live by faith, we, for the most part, we have no idea what that means, what that entails. And honestly, what we end up doing is we end up bringing it into a place of this is all the things that faith does. So we have to watch out for that. Because what I want you guys to get to is that place where you start nurturing yourselves to where you become fertile soil, so that as you're getting in the word and God's giving you the promises, those promises get to work because you still have to know them. You see, it all started with, we obeyed the truth, right? And his promises are the truth. We got to know those. His commands are the truth. We got to know those. We got to obey them. We got to follow through. And if I'm truly going to obey God, I'm going to obey the promise as well as I'm going to obey the command. The promise says that by his stripes you were healed. I'm going to obey that. I'm going to enforce healing in my body. I have to, because why? I mean, if I'm going to obey the truth, I'm going to live the reality of these things. Amen? Amen. And so that's what our goal is to begin to get to that place where we're faith conscious all the time. We're thinking on the level of faith all the time. And we're listening to be fed with faith in things. When you read how many of you have got scriptures that God's promised you that really are a blessing to you? You guys have scriptures like that? Mm-hmm. Don't they stir up faith inside you? See, that's the hearing of faith. And that's where we want to continue to feed those, but we want to expand it as well. We want to broaden our knowledge and our understanding of what all God has given to us so that we're hearing faith all kinds of different ways. And I've read, this is something I do all the time. I just read through the New Testament. And then I'll go read books in the Old Testament. And then I read through, but I'll read those books and still be reading the New Testament. I read through it. I read from Matthew to Revelations. I finish Revelations. I start Matthew all over again. I just keep reading through it. And if there's something I need to work on, I don't stop reading through it. I go back and I meditate on whatever I need to pick up on and get that in me, because there's a promise. There's a power in that. It's generating faith, causing faith to come to me. I'm hearing the faith in. I'm hearing what God is wanting to do and show me and do for me in that. Amen. I'm going to stop here and we'll... Any questions?